online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Prime Minister says easing COVID restrictions earlier than planned would undermine the progress that's been made in stabilising the growth in positive case numbers. Five nursing homes across the country have been placed on a red alert for COVID-19 by the HSE. Further clarity is being sought amid reports of a COVID cluster at Letterkenny University Hospital. Donegal Deputy says if more resources are needed, then the government must provide them. Breast check services haven't yet resumed in Letterkenny. They were to have resumed last week. They will do so next week, according to a cancer charity. And Dr. Matthew O'Toole is being asked to appear before the Iraq the South Committee. Well, later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That coming up directly after the sport. But we begin with the Prime Minister's comments in the Dáil this evening that easing COVID restrictions earlier than planned would undermine the progress that's been made in stabilising the growth in positive case numbers. Since level 5 measures came into effect, the R number has dropped below 1 and the 14-day incidence rate has declined significantly. The National Public Health Emergency team met earlier to look at what's been achieved over the past 2 weeks. Leo Varadkar says it's impossible to say what restrictions will be in place for December.
I'd love to be able to stand up here and say that on the 1st of December we're going to move to level 3 or level 2 and give people the ability to plan, but I'm just not in a position to do that. You know, this virus can change very quickly. It's just too far away from Christmas. It's too far away from the 1st of December for us to be able to give anybody a reliable indication as to what level of restrictions will be there.
Well, north of the border, 516 more people have tested positive for COVID-19 in the past 24 hours. A further 12 people have died with the virus. Four of those deaths took place some time ago. It brings the north's coronavirus death toll to 752. The total number of cases in the region now stands at 4,256. Nationally, five nursing homes have been placed on red alert for COVID-19 by the HSE. Healthcare staff are dealing with a total of 59 outbreaks in nursing homes. 10% of nursing homes in the country now have outbreaks. The HSE's Anne O'Connor says some are getting intensive support.
That's not to say that they're all in terrible difficulty, but just that's what's recorded. I think from our perspective, we are actively supporting a small number of those and providing intensive support. So as I said, there are five currently in the red status.
Well, further clarity is being sought amid reports of a COVID-19 cluster at Letterkenny University Hospital. It comes as latest HSE figures show a jump in the numbers being treated for the virus at the hospital, with 19 confirmed cases now on site, one in ICU. Management last night released a statement saying there was pressure on bed availability at the hospital and urging people not to attend the emergency department unless absolutely necessary. Donegal's Deputy Patrick McLaughlin is asking management if more resources are needed.
My job as a public representative is to fight for resources for the hospital, and if they need resources and they need support, then they need to tell us so we can help them. I am being told that there's problems with space, capacity, staff, resources to cope in the hospital. And what we need to do is make sure that we have enough space to separate those who are either suspected of having COVID-19 or tested positive from the rest of the hospital, and make sure that you have the additional nursing and doctors staff to do that safely.
It's emerged that breast check services have not resumed in Letterkenny. That's despite reassurances given that the unit outside the Public Services Centre on Neil T. Blaney Road would reopen on Tuesday, October 27th, after being temporarily halted due to the pandemic. Donegal Action for Cancer Care spokesperson Betty Holmes says following discussions, it's been confirmed to her that the unit will reopen next Wednesday. She says given the size of the waiting list, the unit should now operate on a 6-day-a-week basis in order to clear the backlog.
See questions as why the delay in the restart date, now Wednesday the 11th of November, how many hours and days per week will the unit be operational? And we ask that because if you remember before March came, the unit was only operating 3 days a week. We have been working very hard on that, so we would hope that the unit will be operating 6 days a week.
Joe Biden's campaign team claims victory is imminent in the US presidential election. Several key states are still to declare, though. That means the result is too close to call. Donald Trump, the incumbent, says he's going to challenge Mr. Biden's recent wins over alleged fraud. And lawsuits are underway in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia and Wisconsin. Dr. Matthew O'Toole has been formally asked to appear before the Oireachtas Health Committee to answer questions about the documents leaked to him by Leo Varadkar. The Taoiseach says he takes sole responsibility and doesn't blame anyone else for leaking a confidential doctor's agreement in April 2019. Leo Varadkar has been under continued pressure for sharing the IMO document with the former president of the National Association of General Practitioners. In the Dáil today, Donegal deputy and Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty accused the Taoiseach of shirking the blame.
And instead of accepting responsibility for your actions, you just threw Matthew O'Toole under the bus and then you decided to reverse over him. And I want to put it on the record here. Matthew O'Toole isn't to blame here. Matthew O'Toole was absolutely in his right as president of the NAGB to seek out this document.
Well, a South Donegal deputy believes there's a credibility issue for everyone in Irish politics over the events of the past week. At a Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting last night, Deputy Mark McSharry said there wasn't a six-year-old in the country who couldn't see through the Taoiseach's fairy tale account of what happened. Micheál Martin was also told there's palpable anger among Fianna Fáil members that their party leader is being seen as the chief flag flyer for Leo Varadkar. On today's 9 till noon show, Deputy Mark McSharry said there has to be consistency.
It's not a case that I would want to be setting up the guillotine on the Port Road in Letterkenny and lining people up or anything like that, but I think we have to have consistency. The other thing that I must point out is that these matters are a distraction. I mean, all of us are very focused on the various aspects of COVID, between the impact on us here in the Northwest, and indeed the health of the nation generally, Brexit, and indeed other pressing issues. But sometimes internal matters have to be dealt with too, and I think that the dealing with this over the course of the last week smacks of double standards and smacks of the system protecting itself instead of seeking to change aspects of the system in the interest of the people.
The US envoy to Northern Ireland has expressed concern at the emergence of what he calls an accidental border in Ireland in the event that there is no trade deal between the EU and Britain. It comes after the EU's chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier indicated serious difficulties still exist between both sides over key issues. American envoy Mick Mulvaney told the Institute of International and European Affairs that the Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney told him there were options for the EU to put pressure on Britain.
But in reality, there's much larger, more powerful levers the Europeans could pull under those circumstances than a border across the island of Ireland. He said, added to, for, and the example he gave for, was commercial aviation. It goes to the heart of, it goes to, sticks to the, gets to the British someplace that's a little bit closer to home, perhaps, and a larger economic impact.
The Donegal Education and Training Board says it welcomes the use of the Garden Estate by members of the public and has long-term plans to enhance recreational amenities there. It follows the lodging of a planning application last month for the erection of an access fence and gates close to the Outdoor Education Centre in the grounds. Local people have launched an online petition claiming their ability to walk the grounds could be compromised. However, the ETB says there are safety issues that must be addressed. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
In a statement this afternoon, Donegal ETB says why it welcomes recreational users in Garton. The recent increase has resulted in health and safety concerns and has placed significant demand on the resources at Garton Outdoor Education and Training Centre. In order to ensure a separation between recreational users and course participants on the Garton estate, the statement says Donegal ETB has applied for planning permission to erect a fence and gates around the buildings, equipment stores and slipways that are used by course participants at the centre. The ETB says the proposed fence and gates will ensure that recreational users continue to have access through the grounds while protecting course participants and facilities at the Outdoor Education Centre. This additional security feature, the statement concludes, will address the health and safety concerns and also enhance child protection measures within the estate grounds.
Michaela Clark with that report. The Northwest Child and Family Support Network has introduced a new directory for community services in Northwest Donegal. It's the first of its kind in the area. With more detail, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The directory covers the northwest of Donegal, Derry Bay, from Creaslet to Gorth the Hork, Bunbeg and Derrybeg, and the Fintown to Rosses area. It covers a wide range of key service categories from preschools to supports for older people. It includes information about HSE services and Garda Síochána, schools, churches, use financial supports as well as local community organisations and centres, such as men's and women's groups and walking groups. The Northwest Child and Family Support Network was established in early 2019 with the support of the Prevention, Partnership and Family Support Department in Tusla. The purpose of the network is to ensure that all members have a good understanding about the services that are available in their area to support all members of the community. It is hoped that hard copies of the directory will be available through health centres and other community buildings in the coming months.
A man was detained in Strabane yesterday as police carried out four searches in connection with ongoing investigations into violent dissident Republican activities. A number of items were seized for further examination. The 24-year-old was arrested on suspicion of possessing Class A drugs. He's since been released on police bail, pending further inquiries. The 12th annual Golden Bridges Conference and Awards Ceremony will take place virtually this year. An online event is being run from Derry's Guildhall on November 20th, that's Friday week. The programme promotes partnerships between Ireland Northwest and Boston, Massachusetts, and is coordinated by Donegal County Council and Derry City and Strabane District Council. For the past number of years, representatives of the two councils have travelled to the US with local business and education leaders. Donegal County Council's Economic Development Director Gary Martin says while that can't happen this year, links forged in the past will stand the two councils in good stead.
In order to progress anything in life, whether it's in business or in your personal life, you need to build relationships, and that's not something that you can do virtually. It takes time, and the investment that has been made over many years by the various visits has established very, very, very strong relationships between ourselves and educational establishments, business networks, and I suppose the political and civic area in the east coast of the United States.
And more details on that event from either of the two councils and on our website, highlandradio.com, and that event taking place 2 weeks from tomorrow. Highland Radio continues to have the highest market share of any local radio station in the country, according to the latest joint national listenership research figures, which have just been released. The figures have also revealed 90,000 people on average listen to Highland Radio every week, with over 70,000 listening daily. The station now boasts a market share of 66.6% each day. Managing Director of Highland Radio, Fionnuala Rabbit, says efforts are underway by the station to assist local businesses through its major online presence.
The release of today's Jane Lawr figures show that Highland Radio is still number one in the Northwest, with over 70,000 people listening each day and a 67% market share. It's just phenomenal, the support that we've received from the local area, and we just want to say a huge thank you to them all. We're here to help ensure that people get the information that they need, true and accurate information, but we're also here to support businesses in this difficult time. We've gone through it and we know that they're going through it. And in order to assist that, we're working on getting a directory together on our website of all local businesses so that it can assist them in the Christmas rush, not just for the people here in Donegal, but also for the diaspora. We're very fortunate that over the last year, our website numbers have grown over 5 million and we now have 18 million page views per year, and we want to give these page views to the people of the Northwest to help their businesses come along. And I hope everybody has bought their ticket for our car draw that's planned on Christmas Eve. We have a lot more prizes coming into that in the future, and we look forward to having a super draw on Christmas Eve and giving all our listeners back some of the loyalty and support that they have shown us.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Now stocking the official GA Donegal snood and face masks.
16 minutes past 5 o'clock, we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. Republic of Ireland captain Seamus Coleman has been named in the 26-man squad for the three internationals later this month. The Killybegs man missed last month's Ireland matches after injury in his hamstring, which went again on his return for Everton in the Merseyside derby, ruling him out of the last two club games. Luton Town striker James Collins has been called up for the first time since Stephen Kenny took the managerial reins. Portsmouth forward Ronan Curtis and Wokeham's Daryl Horgan keep their places, but Southampton's Shane Long and Preston forward Shawnee Maguire are left out. Ireland play England at Wembley in a friendly next Thursday, and then Wales and Bulgaria in the Nations League. Well, Northern Ireland manager Ian Barraclough's made three changes to his squad ahead of next week's Euro 2020 playoff final against Slovakia. Manchester United's Ethan Galbraith, Aberdeen winger Matthew Kennedy and Celtic goalkeeper Conor Hazard have been drafted in for the vital clash. England manager Gareth Southgate has recalled Phil Foden to the squad for the Ireland game, but there's no place for Mason Greenwood. The pair were sent home for breaching coronavirus rules while representing the team in Iceland in September. Chelsea's Reece James has also been included despite being suspended for two of the upcoming games. Gareth Bale, meanwhile, is back in the Wales squad after missing last month's game against Ireland at the Aviva Stadium due to injury. Now, Dundalk are still seeking their first points in Group B of the Europa League as they play Rapid Vienna in Austria tonight. That Dundalk game, of course, starts at 5-6. The other tie in that group tonight sees Arsenal host Molder at the Emirates Stadium at 8 o'clock. Celtic play Sparta Prague in Group H at Parkhead at 8. It's a 5-6 kick-off in Bulgaria for the Group J match involving Tottenham Hotspur and Ludengratz. At the same time in Group D, Rangers are in Portugal away to Benfica, while in Group G, Leicester City take on Braga as from 8 o'clock. St Johnstone native Tyler Tolan made her Champions League debut on Wednesday night, playing a role in Glasgow City's first qualifying round win over Piemont United. Tolan was a second half substitute. Glasgow did need penalties to see off a stubborn Dublin side. The game finished 0-0 after extra time, with the hosts winning through 6-5 on spot kicks.
Piemont were a really good team. They were really up for it. They came out of the blocks early, very aggressively. Thought we maybe started a bit slow, weren't moving the ball quick enough, but as the game went on, I think we started to get into it more and move the ball. It was a bit of a frustrating game. Obviously 0-0, it went the whole way to the penalties, but at the end of the day we got the result and that's the main thing.
That's Tyler Tolan speaking to me earlier today ahead of tonight's Score programme, which will air just after the 7 o'clock news. We'll also be joined on the show by Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan, who has once again highlighted his dismay at the moving of the final series of games in the SSE Airtricity Premier Division. Shamrock Rovers' twice postponed game with Derry City has been refixed for this Saturday, which means all five games to end the season have been put back 24 hours from Sunday to Monday. Horgan feels it's a situation which was badly managed once again.
There's a hindrance, a lot more than just us. It might go back to Tuesday for all we know, because it changes by the day. Unfortunately, with the game going back to Monday, the FAI operate on a Monday to Monday basis, as in that is their week. We're not sure who's going to be available and who's not, because we had the week's suspensions for this week, which included Sunday. We haven't a clue who's going to be available on Monday here or not. It's nearly on the farcical terms that the game and games have been put back, and we feel that it should have been managed a hell of a lot better.
In Gaelic games, Tyrone footballer Conor McKenna and Limerick hurler Jared Hegarty have been named the PwC GAA GPA Players of the Month for October. It might prove some consolation for McKenna, who kicked a point from a free in the Red Hand County's defeat to Donegal in the Ulster Championship last Sunday. His outstanding performance of the month was his 2-1 from play against Tyrone, or for Tyrone rather, against relegated Mayo at a Castle Bar. Hegarty meanwhile starred for a dangerous looking Limerick outfit, who are into another Munster final after victories against Clare and Limerick. In rugby, former All Black James Lowe is in line to make his debut for Ireland against Wales tomorrow week. The Leinster winger, who qualified through the residency rule, is one of three uncapped players included in the 34-man squad for the Autumn Nations Cup tournament. Ulster out half Billy Burns and Munster centre Shane Daly are the other two. Well, Johnny Sexton says he's apologised to Ireland head coach Andy Farrell over his reaction to being substituted in the defeat to France. The captain says the incident is now in the past. In cycling, Jasper Philipsen won today's 15th stage of the Vuelta España, Primoz Roglic retained the leader's red jersey with three stages remaining. Dan Martin is fourth on general classification. Finally, as we mentioned earlier, Ollie Horgan and Tyler Toland are both part of the Score programme tonight. Also on the show, we'll be joined by Mark McHugh to talk about the proposed split GAA season. Plus, we'll look ahead to action this weekend for the Tyrone Hurlers and Ladies Footballers and the Derry Hurlers, along with Paddy Hunter of the Ulster Herald and indeed Michael McMullen of the County Derry Post. That's the Score tonight here on Highland, just after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Well, as it's a Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Irish Water is set to bring in a new metering water charging system for farming next May. Up until now, each county council set its own water charges, but the new system will see farmers across the country paying the same amount for water use. And the good news for Donegal farmers is that they should end up paying less than they are at present. Amy Ford is Deputy News Editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. I've been speaking to her about the changes and began by asking her if the news will come as a surprise to people.
Depends on whether people are clued in, I suppose, on what's going on at the minute. So Irish Water in May of this year were supposed to bring in its new metered water charges system, but due to COVID-19 they've actually put off introducing that for business customers to May of next year. So May 2021, there's going to be big changes coming down the tracks. And I suppose the way that things are going to work from then is that up to now all county councils around the country have their own water charges for the amount of water companies and businesses and farms use. And that's all going to be harmonised or equalised. So a farmer in Donegal will now pay the same amount of water on use as a farmer in Wexford or Cork. So it's going to be levelled, we'll say, in terms of the cost of water. So I suppose for Donegal, you know, you've got a mix of everything there. You know, there's no dominant type of farming, Chris, but any dairy farmers there with the average kind of 80 cow herd, we've estimated that the average, you know, 80 cow dairy herd, which makes 5,000 litres per cow per year, will use in and around 2,500 cubic metres of water every year. And there's going to be a new charge put on that water. So every cubic metre used is going to be face a charge of €1.30. So the good news is for farmers in Donegal, that's actually going to decrease their bill, because the previous supply was £1.50 a cubic metre. So that's going to decrease by 20 cent. So that'll see the average dairy farmer save just over €500 from May of next year under these new charges, essentially.
Well, that certainly is going to be good news for many. Not too often do you see something going down rather than up. But
yeah,
the flip side is elsewhere, some other people will be paying more.
Yeah, so under our figures, Donegal, Meath and Wicklow are the only three counties that are going to see savings on their current water bills. And around the rest of the country, it's going the other way. It's going up. I suppose there's a varying, as I said, varying prices around the country at the minute. So farmers in Wexford, for argument's sake, will be going up by €230, or their bill will be going up by that. These are 80 cow dairy farmers. We've taken the average dairy farmer. You have Galway up €282, Kerry up €512, and Irish Water says that any bill that goes, you know, faces a hike of more than €750 or more, they'll apply a 10% cap to that bill, so they won't be paying full whack for it. From next year, there'll be a system put in place. But all the details are on irishwater.ie for anyone who has any concern or wants to look at what the new charges will mean for them.
Now, these new charges, will they be reviewed on a annual basis, or do we know how long they're going to be at these rates that are being proposed?
Yeah, so these new charges are coming in May next year, and that will kick off the start of a three-year period. So there'll be a public consultation. Irish Water will undertake a public consultation on this transition to these new prices, because obviously, depending on what part of the country you're on and depending on what type of business you have, you know, making up the difference between what you're paying now and what you will be paying, there might be a lot more of a difference in the water price than what you were paying, if you get me. So they will carry out a public consultation before the end of 2021, before the end of 2023, sorry, or early 2024 on how the transition to the new water charges are working.
And has there been much reaction from farm organisations? Have they had an input into things? Have they been lobbying?
So no reaction to the story just yet, but farm organisations were consulted with before these charges came out. They would have been called in by Irish Water to discuss them. So they are aware, they're wide to what's going on, and they are aware that these charges are coming. I suppose it's just if they need to lobby, if they want to lobby more or feel some farmers are at a disadvantage, they will do that. But all's quiet on that in that sense at the minute.
And tell me, what is the situation with regard to somebody who maybe wants a new field connection for water?
Yeah, so that was actually all equalised as well last year as part of, you know, a harmonisation of prices so that everyone pays the same across the country. So farmers who want to put in a new field connection, for argument's sake, for water, will pay a minimum of €2,272 to put that connection in across the country. And that charge came in last year, in April of last year, so there's a universal charge whether you're connecting a trough for field connection or whether you're connecting water to your a house. And previously, again, the cost would have been set by the county council, and they ranged from €110 up to €2,300 across the country. I suppose the difficulty that might arise is if you need more pipe to carry the water. So the longer the pipe, the more you're going to pay. And then any pipe, any water connection pipe that's, you know, over 10 metres but less than 15, there's a per metre charge of €358, and anything over that then will have extra quotable charges applied to it then. So there could be some hefty water bills around the place depending on how far away the water source is to where you want it to go into the field, if that makes sense.
Now, changing tack, there could be extra TB testing on the way. What is in the pipeline?
Yeah, so everyone know, everyone that's clued in to farming at the minute will know that TB is obviously an issue across the country. We haven't managed to eradicate it yet. It's taken years to get to eradication. We're not near it yet. You know, there's at least 2,000 herds still locked up around the country, and 17,500 roughly have had a breakdown in the last 3 years. So under the TB Forum and the Department of Agriculture's new strategy to try and eradicate the disease by 2030, they have a new strategy. So the draft strategy, we've seen a copy of it, and that shows that some farmers will face having to TB test cattle up to 30 days before selling them at the market or moving them from farm to farm, if they're selling them farm to farm under the strategy. And the farmers that will have to test those, that will fall into that band, we'll say, for having to test them, are farmers who had a breakdown in the last 3 years. And there's around 20,000 farmers that kind of fall into that bracket already. And they fall into that bracket because earlier this year, the department actually sent out letters to farmers classifying their herds as to how at risk they are. So, you know, if you were locked up, you're obviously at risk. If you didn't have a breakdown in the last 7 or 8 years, you're obviously less at risk. But there's 20,000 farmers falling into that high-risk category, which could see them face extra testing under this new strategy. Now, I do stress it is a draft strategy. Farm organisations and the stakeholders on the TB Forum are going to meet the department, I think, they have to come back to the department by Friday, by the end of this week, with what changes they want. And I think there's bilateral meetings taking place next week. But other proposals under that strategy include, to ramp up testing for cattle which test inconclusive to TB, to the TB skin test, and increased testing in TB black spots around the country as well. So there is a lot in it, and it's all in this week's Farmers Journal.
And that was Amy Ford, Deputy News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. And we extend our congratulations to Richard Starrett from Lifford, who has been named as the overall winner of the National Dairy Council and Kerrygold Milk Quality Awards. Now, these awards are dubbed the Oscars of the Dairy World and have attracted a lot of publicity. He was on a shortlist of 11 recipients from 11 dairy co-ops nationwide. The finalists judged those who were on the shortlist on sustainable farming practices, milk quality, technical knowledge and animal welfare on farm practices. The prize was a nice €5,000 plus a trophy. So well done indeed to Richard and his wife Wendy and their three kids, David, Holly and John. Their farm is at Killindara near Lifford, and we'll have more on that in next week's programme. Finally, just to let you know that next week is Science Foundation Ireland Science Week at Chagosk, and from Monday there will be Zoom events each day from 11 o'clock. You can go to the Chagosk website for more details on that. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Well, the forecast, a mix of cloudy periods and clear spells heading into this evening, staying dry with light and variable winds. It'll be dry tonight with low cloud or mist with low temperatures, 5 to 7 degrees Celsius, a little lower in any clearer spells, light southeast or variable breezes. Tomorrow, cloud will be slow to shift, but it will brighten up in the afternoon in highest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, light to moderate east to southeast breezes. Main stories on Highland Radio this evening. The Taoiseach says easing COVID restrictions earlier than planned would undermine the progress that's been made in stabilising the growth in positive case numbers since Level 5 measures came into effect. The R number has dropped below 1. The 14-day incidence rate has declined significantly. However, Leo Varadkar says it's impossible to say what restrictions will be in place in December. 516 people, meanwhile, have tested positive for COVID-19 north of the border in the past 24 hours. A further 12 deaths confirmed. Four of them took place some time ago. The HSE says 5 nursing homes have been placed on red alert. Healthcare staff are dealing with a total of 59 outbreaks in nursing homes across the country. Meanwhile, further clarity is being sought amid reports of a COVID-19 cluster at Letterkenny University Hospital. Deputy Patrick McLaughlin wants management to confirm if more resources are needed. Back with more at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 5th of November. The death has occurred of Anne-Marie Spackman, née Callaghan, late of Shore Road, Kerrykeel, formerly of Corby and Sussex. Anne-Marie's remains will arrive at St Mary's Church, Fanavalti, at 6 o'clock tomorrow Friday evening to repose overnight. A funeral service will be held on Saturday morning at 11, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and the government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Fair Share or Mary's Meals, care of any family member. The death has occurred in London of Francis Gerald Frankie Gallagher, Ardcullum Kill Letterkenny, and formerly of Crossconnell, Clonmany. Frankie's remains will be received at St Julian's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening to repose overnight. 11 o'clock Requiem Mass on Saturday morning will be followed by interment in the family plot at Newlech Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on the St Julian's Letterkenny online streaming service at 11 o'clock. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to immediate family only, please. Inquiries to Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Rose Coyle, née Longwill, late of Lark Hill, Derry. Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, the wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, Coolmore Road, Derry. The death has occurred of Teggy Breslin, Drumbarron, Ardra. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 20 to 1, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for funeral mass at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Derek McCabe, Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred of Cassie Herity, née McAteer, late of the Point, Shedja, Ballyheeran, Fanad. Her remains are reposing at her late residence in Shedja. Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Ballyheeran, at 11 o'clock tomorrow, followed by burial in Fanavalti Graveyard.
Due to government and HSE restrictions, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please.